see when they come up for their contracts and see.
Okay, that's what I'm gonna say.
We're on the record. Before we take up docket number 13035196, I just want to go back to a question regarding the rate case stipulation and a question I asked, just so you'll understand where I was coming from. And that I'm now clearer on the subject. I've got the table in front of me that is from Mr. McDougall's testimony that relates to paragraph 27. And so I can see now that this answers my question. I think I misspoke myself when I asked the question, referring to November 1, 2014, rather than 2015. And what I was attempting to determine was that the amortizations in those dockets that are referred to in the first sentence of paragraph 27, but for that paragraph, would have been over shorter periods than otherwise. And I can see that from the table. So thank you for referring me to that. I hope I haven't further confused any of you. Now to docket number 13035196. Does any party intend to address this stipulation besides the division or the company, the division, and the office? And apparently not. And we have the same witnesses, it appears to me. Is that correct? From each of those parties. So let me just remind the witnesses they're under oath. And let's begin with Ms. Hogle and Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Preliminarily, I don't believe that the parties indicated in the stipulation in the Schedule 31 for the admission of their direct testimony in this proceeding. And accordingly, I hereby move for the admission of the direct testimony of Rocky Mountain Power with exhibits into the record in this case.
And let's broaden that to apply to all of the testimony that's been filed. Is there any objection to the commission receiving all of the pre-filed testimony and exhibits into evidence? Then they will all be received. Thank you, Ms. Hogan.
Thank you. Can you please state your name and employment for the record?
My name is David L. Taylor. I'm the same David L. Taylor who testified in the last hour before this commission.
And what is the purpose of your summary here today?
I'll briefly review the stipulation that's presented before the commission today. I'll review some of the history that led up to it, as well as discuss the key elements of the stipulation. The stipulation has been reached by six signing parties, and I will also confirm Rocky Mountain Power's support for the stipulation and the company's belief that the stipulation is in the public interest.
Mr. Taylor, please proceed with a history of the stipulation.
On December 4th of 2013, Rocky Mountain Power filed an application requesting to revise Utah Schedule 31, backup maintenance and supplemental power service. The company proposed to require rather than to offer as an option for customers with on-site generation to take service under this schedule. The company in that filing also proposed a methodology for calculation rates for backup service under Schedule 31. On December 12th of 2013, the commission issued a scheduling order setting a procedural schedule for the case. And then on January 22nd of 2014, the commission revised that schedule to coincide with the cost of service phase two schedule in the general rate case docket 13-035-184. On May 22nd of 2014, five intervening parties filed direct testimony in the case, and there has been no rebuttal testimony filed in this case. Over the last few weeks, those parties have entered into settlement discussions on Rate Schedule 31. And based upon those discussions, the parties have agreed to the terms and conditions set forth in the stipulation that's presented here this morning. That signed stipulation was filed with the Commission on June 25th, 2014. The stipulation is intended to resolve all of the issues in this case in accordance with their respective terms and conditions as laid out therein. All parties that filed testimony in the case have signed the stipulation, and we are not aware of any intervening party that opposes the stipulation.
Mr. Taylor, please summarize the key terms of the stipulation for the Commission.
Certainly. And as I said earlier this morning, as I attempt to do this, if by chance I misspeak, the words and the terms of the stipulation are the binding document, not what I say this morning. The parties, again, for the purpose of this stipulation, agree and recommend that the Commission approve the following. This is in paragraph 11. This is a change to the application paragraph in the tariff. This says that all customers with on-site generation of 1,000 kilowatts up to and including 15,000 kilowatts, regardless of their generation type, will be required to take service under this schedule. All customers with on-site generation exceeding 15,000 kilowatts will be served under a special contract that will be negotiated by those parties and approved by the Commission. I will point out that this only applies to customers that actually require backup service. If they have that generation that provides emergency service to them in the case of a power outage, they do not need to take service under Schedule 31. Paragraph 12 lays out and states that the agreed-upon monthly backup facilities charge was calculated based on a portion of generation planning reserves, a portion of demand-related transmission cost, and distribution cost where applicable. There was no agreement reached as to the appropriate methodology to arrive at that agreed-upon backup facilities charge. What we agreed to is what the charges are, not how we got there. In paragraph 13, demand-related generation and transmission costs that are not included in the backup facilities charge are included in the agreed-upon daily power charge, and it's designed in such a way that if a customer requires backup service from the company every day of the month, that customer would pay essentially the same under Rate Schedule 31 as they would under the applicable general service schedule. Either that would be Schedule 8 for distribution voltage customers and Schedule 9 for transmission voltage customers. The chart in paragraph 14, the charges and other terms agreed upon by the parties are reflected in Schedule 31 tariff that's attached as Exhibit A to the stipulation. The rates under Schedule 31 will become effective on September 1st, 2014. That's concurrent with the Step 1 rate change in the 2014 general rate case. And there will be an additional change on September 1, 2015. Again, that's concurrent with the Step 2 rate change in the general rate case. Those rates are shown in Table 1 of the stipulation. Both the Step 1 and Step 2 rates are shown there. And the proposed rates, as laid out here, are also reflected in Exhibit C to the stipulation in the 2014 general rate case that we discussed here this morning. Moving on to paragraph 16, the company agrees to collect and maintain billing data on maintenance and backup service. We will do our best to attempt to collect and maintain outage data related to Schedule 31 customers' on-site generation. We agree to provide the immediately preceding 3 years Schedule 31 customer billing and backup service to the extent possible and outage-related data with customers' on-site generation. And we'll provide that information in the next rate case to the extent that we have it available. Moving on to the general terms and conditions of the stipulation, as with most stipulations, these general terms deal with the obligations of the signing parties, both to the stipulation and to each other. As with all settlements, this was reached through negotiation and a fair amount of compromise. While all the parties, again, agree to the stipulated rates here in Schedule 31, each party may have come to that conclusion in a different way and may have used different approaches and assumptions to get there. Again, that's typical with many stipulations. So, again, with that general background, the parties agree that the stipulation as a whole is just and reasonable and result and in the public interest. The stipulation is an integrated whole, and any party may withdraw from it if it's not approved without material change of condition by the commission.
Mr. Taylor, do you have any parting thoughts for the commission on a stipulation?
Yes. Again, I want to thank the parties who worked to come to this agreement. This was no less hard to reach than the agreement in the general rate case. Took a lot of work, and I just appreciate everybody working together to get to this final resolution. I restate the company's support for the stipulation. It was negotiated in good faith by the parties. I believe it is in the public interest, and I recommend that the commission approve the stipulation as filed. Thank you. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Ms. Schmidt.
Thank you. Dr. Powell, could you please state by whom you are employed and your position?
Again, my name is Artie Powell. I'm with the Division of Public Utilities, and I'm the manager of the energy section.
In that respect, did you participate on behalf of the division in this docket?
Yes, I did.
Do you have a statement?
Yes, I do.
Please proceed.
So again, thank you for this opportunity to address the settlement stipulation in this particular docket with respect to Schedule 31. I'll just make a few brief remarks here. The division did file direct testimony in this case, and in that testimony, we stated that we were in general support of the company's proposal, but we did raise three issues that had some concern for the division. First was the requirement, or under the company's proposal, they were requiring that certain customers take power under Schedule 31. It became clear as part of our negotiations and discussions on the docket that the customers are at their discretion can nominate as little or as much power under Schedule 31 as they feel that they need to. So we thought that that provided enough flexibility that even though the company was asking that this be a requirement, that it was a reasonable requirement. We also raised an issue of revenue neutrality. Just looking at some of the responses from the company on the data request, we noted that it was the company's intent that this was a revenue neutral change to Schedule 31, but we couldn't reconcile that with a few other data requests. Again, during our discussions with the company and other parties in negotiations, it became clear that it indeed is revenue neutral for the company. However, there would be bill impacts for some of the customers under the company's proposal. And that was the third issue that we raised. It appeared that some of the bill impacts would be relatively large for some of those customers. The stipulation, I think, addresses this by increasing the facilities charge much less than what the company had originally proposed, and I think will result in rates that are reasonable and just and in the public interest. And therefore, we recommend that the stipulation be adopted by the commission as filed in this case. Lastly, as Mr. Taylor addressed, as one of the terms and conditions of the stipulation, the company will collect and retain and submit certain data with its next rate case. This data should help us to clarify and reset any rates necessary in that case. And that will conclude my remarks at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Powell. Mr. Coleman, Ms. Beck.
Ms. Beck, your name and title again, please.
Michelle Beck, Director of the Utah Office of Consumer Services.
And did you guide the office's participation in Docket 1335-196?
Yes, I did.
Do you have a position statement from the office?
I do.
Please proceed.
So the office does not represent any customers who currently take service under a Schedule 31 or who will take service under the new Schedule 31. However, to the extent that any relevant costs aren't recovered from Schedule 31 customers, then they are paid for by other customers. Thus, the office has an interest in the proceeding and participated fully to ensure that the resulting rates are just and reasonable, both for Schedule 31 and for the other customers. Based on our analysis, the office believes that the Schedule 31 settlement is a reasonable compromise and is in the public interest. Thus, we recommend approval.
Thank you, Ms. Beck. Any questions? Commissioner LaVar.
I'd just like to make sure I'm understanding the party's intent on paragraph 14. And its relationship to the general rate case. Is the party's understanding of that paragraph that in the event that the September 1st date for the step two of the second of the general rate case, if in the event that date is delayed by a delay in the Sigurd Red Butte transmission line, is it the intent that the step two of the 196 docket still happen on September 1st?
No, I think these rates would change concurrent with the step two change in the general rate case.
So the language of the later of would still apply to this?
That's correct.
In your understanding. Do the division of the office understand that paragraph the same way?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Your Honor, thank you. At this time, Movement, Rocky Mountain Power, would like to request a bench order in this 13035-196 case.
Ms. Hogle, would you elaborate on the purpose for your request?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. And that's what I was, that's what my client was talking to me about. The Schedule 31 stipulation establishes special contracts that would be subject, the pricing of which would be subject to the Schedule 31 tariff. And given that we have an effective date of September 1, 2014, for any special contracts to be effective stemming from this Schedule 31 tariff, we would like and really don't have a lot of time between now and then to have those negotiated. And the pricing of the Schedule 31 tariff would have to be effective by the time that those special contracts relating to Schedule 31 would also be effective. Thus, the reason for the request for a bench order.
Any comments from any other parties on the company's motion?
If I might. Yes, I think Ms. Hogle has identified a real timing problem with the way the stipulation has been presented and the time it has. By part of the stipulation moves some customers under a special contract instead of under Schedule 31. And those customers not only have to have the contract agreed upon and negotiated, but submitted to the commission for an approval, a division review and report, and a commission order, all before September 1, if these customers are going to be able to take backup service after September 1. So we support this motion for a bench order at this point so that we can get the contract in place and submit it for a timely consideration by the commission.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Any other comments?
I would just add, I think Mr. Evans kind of addressed our issue, but just to make sure, it would be helpful to the division analysts that will be looking at those contracts and making recommendations if we knew what the commission's decision was in this case. With that said, I would just, the sooner the better.
Anything further? Let's be off the record then for just a couple of minutes. Would you just sort of remain in your places? We won't be long on this. On the record, please. Any further comments? Well, in the information, facts and opinions that have been presented to the commission this morning, and in the stipulation itself, the commission finds facts sufficient to base an order and to conclude that the stipulation should be approved, and we will issue a written order that memorializes those findings and conclusions, and it provides our and elaborates on our reasoning. Anything further to come before the commission at this time? We'll see many of you on July 28th, and thank you very much for your participation and for your contributions to the process that led to the stipulation in this docket as well. We're adjourned. You.